take this one. Amen. I hear me now, huh? Okay. Let's get ready to go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for this another time together corporately to come together to worship you. Father, you've been so good to us this week. You kept your eye on us. You kept your hand on us. Oh, God, we're standing here by your mercy and your grace, God, and we are so glad, God, that you are our Heavenly Father. Father, you promised to supply all of our needs, and that's just what you have done this week, both naturally and spiritually. And for this, we give you glory, and we give all of our attention to your word, God. For God, without your word, how can we live? And so, God, we open up our hearts today, God. Oh, God, that you would fill us, strengthen us, change us. Whatever need that we have, God, you would give us today through your word. Your word, you said, is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. And, God, we know to navigate this life, we need direction and light. And so, God, we ask today, God, that we be prepared for what you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I think we're going to dismiss our children this morning, right? Amen. Amen. My glasses. While she's doing my glasses, they just got real foggy. Y'all, can y'all sing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died up on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Now sing it like you mean it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Can you get that, Malcolm? One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. That's all right, Malcolm. Just want to get your adrenaline up. But I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Thank God for Malcolm this morning. Amen. Yeah. Did a wonderful job. Amen. And we just thank God for the gifts in the house. We thank God for him bringing gifts into the house. We just thank God for being here this morning. Did I give my glasses to somebody? Okay. Yes, I did. Okay. Thank you so much, sweetie. Amen. This morning it's been something that God's been working on me for the last month. And it was kind of funny because we've had kind of a week this week. And so I was like usually thinking about my notes last night when we got home. We'd been out of town for a little bit. And when I got home, you know, I was like thinking about my notes. And I had put my notes somewhere but couldn't remember where I put them. Y'all say, how do you do that? But I do things that other people don't do. But but it was to the point that I was downstairs. I was thinking too much that we just got in. And I was like, Lord, I know you gave me this message. And I know that I wrote it down, you know, because this year has been something that I've been trying to be ahead. And so God just, you know, download 3 messages at the beginning of the year. He had told me what I was going to preach. And but I didn't know where so I was just trying to calm myself, you know, like, Lord, I know you didn't tell me what to say. And I just folded. So I said, I'm just going to fold some clothes and let God just start talking to me again. So then David, he comes downstairs and he goes, baby, you need to get on your notes now. And so, you know, I'm thinking, what notes? I don't even know where the notes are. So I go upstairs and I'm just sitting there and I just hit my computer, y'all. Boom, there's the notes right there. Right there, they just right there. And I was like, how in the world did I not remember that this was? And David said, I was watching you write the notes. And he goes, I saw that you was being ahead, and I was so ahead that I forgot where I put them. Right on my, I don't usually, I write, so I put them in my phone, but this time they were actually where they belong, you know. And so I just thank God that it kind of confirmed to me, yep, he wants me to go there, because it's right there. So this morning we're going to talk about, and kind of, it's going to segue into what Apostle's been preaching about. We know that we are in the book of Acts, right? And what an exciting book. I you know, everyone's, our leaders are going through the book of Acts. But everyone, I think that you should just start reading the book of Acts, okay? And just start reading it, because I've read it. We went through the Bible and did this going through the Bible before, but it's something about this time. I've just been picking up so much stuff. I was like, man, I've been read this book so many times, but I didn't see that, or I didn't know that. And that's what I love about the Word of God, because it's so alive and active that it's where you are in whatever season you're in, okay? So you can't just read the book, the Bible, and say, oh, I read the Bible and I got the Bible, because what the Bible is, it's alive and it's fresh and it's active. And wherever you're at, in whatever season, you will find that it will speak to you in that season, fresh as if you didn't read it before. And I just thank God about that. And so the season that we're in is God is calling us to a time to do, you know, and it speaks to us as we begin to reflect on what God is saying to us as a body. When you start reading Acts, it speaks to us where he is taking us, where he's calling us to do, and having a mindset to do. We got to have the right mindset to do. And although pastor's teaching us great principles and precepts, if we don't have the right mindset, he could teach all day and we can read all day, but if we don't have the right mindset, we still will not do. You have to have the right mindset to do. And so one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is called soul alert. Soul, our S-O-U-L, soul alert. Okay, and God wants us to be submitted by our inner man. You know, we can come to church, we can have the look of church, we can have the talk of church, we can do all that, but our inner man, and it looks like, oh wow, they're going to church, they must be obedient, they must be ready to do, but that doesn't have anything to do with how we make this outer man look. The inner man has to be ready to do, because we can come look ready to do, but if the inner man's not ready to do, we will still not be walking in God's commands, nor receiving the victories or the strength that we need. I want to start with in Romans 12:2, because what is needed is our minds need to be renewed. Our minds need to be renewed. We can hear it, but if we don't get this mind renewed, we will still walk in the old ways, talk in the old ways. We will still not be, we'll be going like, what's going on in my life? We're getting all this good word. And never before in all, you know, the history have we have so many ways that we can get the word of God. There's just ways that you can get the Word of God, and you can get the Word of God quick, but you can't just read it. You've got to want it. You understand? You can't just read it. You've got to desire it. You can't just read it. You just got to be persuaded to do it, or else it's just words on a page. And we can go out of here and say, amen, 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 and still have no victory in our lives. Because it's about renewing. We can't operate out of old mindset. In this Romans 12:2, it says this. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, those outward, superficial customs. But be transformed, which means to be changed, by the entire renewal of your mind. by its new ideals and its new attitudes. Coming to Christ means that we are changed entirely. We have an entire new mindset. We have an entire new attitude. We have an entire, anything that we hold on to that is of us that we think was so great, we got to let it go. It has to be an entire new mindset. Some places we think, well, I was pretty smart right there. I had it down pretty good right there. God is saying, no, you have to be changed entirely. There has to be an entire renewal of your mind so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. There's a lot of things that when we came to Christ that we thought was pretty good. We thought there was pretty good ideals. We thought the way that we loved, we thought that the way that we talked, we thought it's not so bad. And a lot of times what we was comparing it against was other people. But God doesn't want us to compare ourselves against other people. He wants us to compare ourselves against the Word of God. And so then I found out when I start walking with God and I thought that I had a certain measure of goodness, a certain measure of understanding, I was comparing myself against other people. Well, I don't do that. Well, at least I don't do that. Well, I don't act like that. Well, but God says, no, I don't want you comparing yourself against other people. I need you to compare yourselves against the word of God. Now, when I go to the Word of God, I find out, you know, I'm falling very, very short. I'm falling very short of the standard of God. I'm falling very short against the Word of God. But all I've done is compared myself against other people. God wants us to know His perfect will for us, not our perfect will for ourselves. And so God wants our minds to be renewed. We have to be submitted to Christ. And being submitted to Christ means that He is Lord over it all. That we've given him everything, every part of us. Inside of us, when I say soul alert, the whole of us is our will, our emotions, our intellect, our memories, and our imaginations. Have you ever thought about that? That's the whole of us, okay? Our will, our emotions, our intellect, our memories, our imaginations, this is our soul. All of that has to be yielded to God. All of it. And sometimes we don't think about that we have, I give myself away so you can use me. We sing that, but we don't think, have I given you my whole will? Have I given you my all of my emotions? Have I given you all of my reasonings, my intellect? Have I given you all my memories? Because some of us, we've come to God, but we haven't given, when we say I've given myself away, we take that as something so simple. I give myself away. But as we begin to walk, when we find ourselves having these weak areas, these areas without strength, because that when they come up in our lives, our emotions, our past memories, they are the things that can trip us up. They are the things that we haven't let go. My will, we haven't let go. And these are the things that we really need to lay our whole soul down on the altar for God to do what he needs to do with us so that we are truly obedient, truly ready to do what God wants us to do. Let's start with some of these things today because God gave me these things and we want to look into what I'm talking about and what God is trying to say, and it's just been working with me this month. First of all, we have a will that we need to lay down, which we don't understand that there is the Father's will and then there's my will. My will, it's okay, I can say, thy will be done until his will comes against what I want to do. And then when that happens, I realize that I have not laid my will down, because when God asks me to do something that makes no sense to me or just doesn't add up to my spirit, I have this struggle, this tug of war going on to just do it, okay? This Pastor David is talking about doing. Let's do it. Let's do what God has called us to do. And one thing, God is getting us to the point of doing it without hesitation. Now, with God, you know, with other people, I may hesitate, okay? Because that sounds a little fishy. That is, but I got to get to a place where I trust God so much that when he says do something, there is no hesitation. It's a knowing that God, his word told me to do it, and I am fully persuaded that he is God, he is the creator, and he knows what's best for me, and so there's no hesitation. Hesitation means that I still don't trust you so much, God. Hesitation means, hesitation takes me back to the garden when Satan talked to Eve and made her to believe that God was trying to withhold something from her, that God wasn't being fair, that God wasn't doing what's best. And when we hesitate, it takes us back to the garden, that when God tells us, love your neighbor. God says, love that man, the neighbor next door that gets on our nerves. That something in there is a hesitation, says, God, do you really mean for me to love him? Do you really mean for me to love this cantankerous neighbor? You mean, do you really know that what that means? Do you really know how that hurts me? See, it goes back to the enemy saying, see, did God really say love that neighbor? Does God really know what he's talking about when he tells you to love that neighbor that's mean to you, that takes your parking space? Does God really know? It takes us back to, am I fully persuaded in my mind that God knows what's best for me? Am I fully persuaded that he is God? He is the creator. He knows what makes us work. He knows what makes us live. He knows what makes us thrive. Am I fully persuaded in my own mind? When I'm fully persuaded, then I will do whatever God tells me to do. I will lay myself, like we said this morning, I give myself away so you can use me. When I'm fully persuaded, I will be able to do exactly what God says. Our will means that my giving up my will for his will means that I am truly devoted in obedience. And my obedience flows from this obedient heart toward God. In Psalms 119 and 32, it says this. David says this. King David says, I will not merely walk, but run the way of your commandments when you give me a heart that is willing. I will not merely just walk it. I will run. I will not even hesitate. I will be so fast, God, when you tell me what to do, I will run when you give me a heart that is willing. So this lets us know that wherever it is I'm not willing, I need to pray, God, give me a heart. See, this is not going to be just to tell you what you need. It's going to tell you how to get what you need this morning. I will run, God, when you give me a heart that is willing. So it lets me know that in those areas, I've got to pray for a willing heart. And God just been dealing with me this week. We need to pray for these things. They don't just come automatically. Sometimes we just think, have a willing heart. But this heart has to be laid down, and I have to say, God, help me. Give me a willing heart. Just don't think that you have a willing heart, because you don't know you don't have a willing heart till you come up against those areas where you're not willing. And so many times we're like, I got a willing heart. I got a faithful heart. I got, until it comes up to that area where, and the enemy likes when we have that self-confidence instead of God confidence. Self-confidence is I got it all together. God confidence is I don't have it all together, but when I get to that place that I don't have it together, I'm going to lift my hands and lift my heart and say, God, I don't have it right here. Father, give me what I need, right? My confidence is not in me. My confidence is in God. In the Message Bible, it says that same verse. It says, I'll run the course you lay out for me if you'll just show me how. Lord, I'll run the course. But I know, God, I don't know. I'm not self-confident. I'm God confident. You've got to show me how. I don't know how. Everybody says, I don't know how. And I don't have it all together. God, but if you show me, I'll do it, God. Just like Peter said, if you call me, if you bid me come, I'll come. If you bid me come, God, I'll come. Because in and of myself, I don't have it all together. But if you show me how, I'll do it. In Ezekiel 36 and 26, it says this. God says, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I'll put a new spirit in you. I'm sorry. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. And right here, God is saying, and this is where we're at, segue into what we're talking about in Acts. The spirit that God has given us. This was prophetic right here, but it came through Jesus Christ. God said he watched his people and he kept watching his people. You know, they come to God and they back up from God. They serve God and they want to serve idols. I mean, we're like that. But God said, what I'm going to do is all this back and forth and all this weakness, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to put a new spirit in you, and that's the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus came, this is what was going to happen. And he said, and I'll remove that stony heart from your body, and I'll replace it with a heart that's God-willed and not self-willed. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It replaces that self-will in us. And if we allow it to lead us, it will replace that self-will, and it will be a God-will heart that will lead, guide, and direct us. We got to lay it all down. So the first thing I gave you is that we got to lay our will down. The second thing is we've got to lay down our emotions and our feelings. Now, in Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, keep a guard. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. And above all that, you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. We have to guard our hearts, our emotions. Now, understand this when I say this, that we have to lay down our emotions and feelings. What I'm saying is this. We don't deny our emotions. We don't hide our feelings, but we carry them to God, okay? We don't also deify them and make our emotions Lord over our lives. A lot of times we deify and worship our emotions. And this is where God is saying that this is where we must give. Emotions are good things because they are an indicator of where we are at, of what's going on. They're a good thing. They're a good thing to have without, just think of a world without emotions, okay? But we cannot allow our emotions to be made God, where we worship what we're feeling. We have to take our emotions, honestly, I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm hurting, yes, but we don't worship them until they consume us. We take these feelings to the Lord. And we say, Lord, I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm mad at Pastor David today. And we take that emotion to God and we say, God, now I'm going to look at this emotion and compare it to the word of God. I'm mad at Pastor David today. So how should I respond? Now, most of us, if we let our emotions rule, we don't respond, we react. But God has given his people a spirit of control. That's one of the fruit of the spirit. So it doesn't mean I'm mad at Pastor David today, so I'm going to slap him upside his head. I'm just reacting. I'm mad. I'm going to slam the door. I'm not going to talk to him for a whole week. I'm just reacting. God has given us something better. There's a better level. There's a better place that we can go. I am mad at Pastor David today. Father, I bring that to you. Father, what do you want me to do? I do feel like slapping him, but God, what do you want me to do? What does your word say for me to do? Your word has so many responses in there that it wants me to get my heart right. It wants me to analyze, why am I mad? What am I supposed to do with this anger? Do I take it out on him? Or do I bring it to you? And the word of God lets me know I'm supposed to bring that anger to him. I bring that anger to him. And when I bring it to him, then God helps me to get a spirit of control that doesn't let me just act rash out of my body, cuss out, slap, slam the door. Lord, I need you to get this flesh in control so that I can be able to go and talk to Pastor David about what I'm angry about. Talk to him in a way that he can hear me without me yelling and screaming and cussing and going crazy. God, help me to get myself in control so that now I can go and have a conversation with him. What you said or what you did, it has upset me, and I want to hear your side of what, I want to hear your side, because what anger does a lot of times, it makes us so irrational that we cannot hear from one another, and I can't hear, it makes me perceive and assume things that may not even be so. Have you ever done that? I went to him, and he was like, babe, I didn't even mean that way. Is that how you heard it? But there was something on board, and sometimes what God says, if we're not careful, we won't receive that there's something on board that causes us to jump, he could have said something, didn't mean it, but something on board within me, some fear, something on board that when I go to God, he helps me to see where that's coming from. I love that about God, that he will help me to say, well, why did you pick that up like that? Why did you even hear that way? And God will bring that out. If we allow him, he'll bring healing. He'll bring an understanding. He'll bring it to us so that we can see that the reason why we reacted in that way is because there was something on board that God needed to reveal to us. And once he reveals that to us, we can see, okay, God, this is a wrong reaction. Help me to respond in a godly way. But remember, it's not about, because you know, the first thing our feelings do when God says that to us, that he says, don't be ruled by our emotions, we want to defend our emotions. The first thing we want to do, what do you mean? We all got emotions. We all got feelings. Are you trying to say, we want to jump out at that? And God wants to say, yes, I'm the one that gave them to you. I'm the one that made you with feelings, but I made them to be used correctly. Do you know that God was showing me in the Garden of Eden, and I thought about this. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can wait to get to heaven, but y'all know what I mean. Okay, but I want to see all this. I want to see the Eden again, because in the Garden of Eden, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they weren't suspicious of one another. They weren't, you know, all these negative emotions that we have because of sin, they weren't in the Garden of Eden. They trusted God. They trusted one another. They were happy. They, you know, all that anger and envy and strife, it wasn't there. It didn't come in until they lent their ear to the voice of Satan. But as long as they had their ear toward God, their heart toward his commandments and his leading, it was just peace. It was just harmony. Can't you, Can y'all just imagine that? Where you're not looking at each other and what did you mean by that? I don't know what you meant by all that suspicion. It's not going to be there. We're going to know one another just as we're known by God. We're going to know one another and there's not going to be any of that. What the enemy allows to mess up our relationships on earth, there will be none of that in heaven. Just peace. In Psalm 73 and 26, again, David says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's get that this morning, because I didn't come to make us feel condemned. I came to make us feel strengthened. David was saying, my heart may fail, okay? My flesh, oh, sometimes it's going to fail. But I love how David, he's very honest with himself, but he's very spiritually honest too. He says, in my flesh, I may fail, but lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And he goes, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. That if we just get to the rock, if we just get to Jesus, there is our strength. That's our portion as believers. If we just walk in God, if we just get our hearts back in God, if we just get planted in God, we'll find our strength. And that's what he is our strength. In Psalms 19 and 50, it says, this is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life. Get to the word. Get to the word. When you're feeling shaky, when your emotions is all over the place, get to the word. I have something that, and I've said this before, I have something to say that a lot of times we say this, but even in my studies, God keeps it. A lot of times we say, when we're going through heartache, when we're going through trials, I don't need you coming up and saying the word to me. It's not what the word says. It's what my flesh says. But it's not what the word says. He says, lead me to the rock. Yeah. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, higher than this flesh, higher than what I'm going through, higher than my emotions, higher than my feelings. The word is higher. The word is stronger. The word is delivering me. The word will keep me. The word will. Yes, sometimes my flesh is like mad, but the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my face. The word, the word, the word. And sometimes the enemy would allow us to say, don't say nothing about God to me right now. I don't need God. I need a hug. You need the word. You need the word. It is your flesh that's trying to kill you. It's your flesh that's trying to keep you down. It's your flesh that's trying to keep you in a tundra, in a turmoil. It's your flesh. We need the word. And why am I like this right now? Because I hear it and I even say it to myself. And Pastor David can come up and say something to me and, babe, I just need a hug. No, you need the word of God. You need the word. Because after the hug is not going to last. The hug is going to make you feel good for a moment. But the word of God is what's going to give you life. It's going to bring life to the situation. It's not just going to bring a tender moment that I got to come out of. And when I come out of that tender moment, the problem is still there. The trial is still there. The situation is there. I had a feel-good moment, but what's going to get me through this? The word. Nothing but the word. And David knew that. He said, your word has revived me. Your word has given me life. your hug and your words and your gifts, they put a smile in my heart, and they, yes, they do. But only for a moment. They can't take the pain away. Right? Can't take the pain away. The only thing that can revive us is God's word. Our emotions, like our minds and bodies, are influenced greatly by the fall of mankind into sin. In other words, our emotions have been tainted. They are not like the Garden of Eden emotions. They are not like our first emotions. They have been tainted by sin. Our emotions weren't all over the place when they were in the Garden of Eden. Our emotions were solid. They were firm. They were steady. They knew God loved them. They knew they were absolutely cared for. There was none of all that other stuff. It was solid emotions. But they've been tainted by sin. And we have to make sure our emotions are grounded in the truth. We have to make sure that. We've got to analyze our emotions. We got to see where this emotion comes from. We got to see where this emotion is taking us. We got to see, is this emotion grounded in truth? Not just our truth, because, you know, what is truth? Because every man has a truth. But God's truth. They have to be grounded in God's truth. And we have to be fully persuaded that this is the truth of God. Never before in my life have I been so adamant that, where is that in the Word of God? Where is that? Show me a scripture. Show me where that, it's just, I don't want your opinion. I don't want your feeling. Where is that in the Word of God? Because I know that we can be so easily taken off course, because things can sound so close, but yet take you so far away from the Word of God. It has to be grounded in truth. And we have to make sure that it is God's truth. Emotions were given to us by God because emotions are indicators of what is going on in our hearts. So what do? We don't just let emotions fly. But as God's people that have given the spirit of control, we've got to stop. We've got to identify. And then we've got to examine those emotions against the Word of God. If we recognize and assess our emotions and bring them to God, then we can submit our hearts to Him. And then we can let Him and allow Him to do the work in our hearts and direct our actions. If we stop, okay, and we identify that emotion, what is a stop? What am I feeling right now? Anger, sadness, bitterness, envy. What is this emotion that I'm feeling? Stop and identify it. Examine it against the Word of God. What does God's word says about anger? What does God's word says about envy? What does God's word says about judgmental? What does God's word? Identify and examine it against the Word of God. Now bring it to God and say, God, right now I feel so judgmental. According to your word, that is not right. Father, I lift my emotions up to you right now. And I say, God, change my emotions right now. Change them to align with your word. Now, see, this takes work. And most of the time, we're just walking along and we're not working. We can work on other people very well. But most of long, we're not working on ourselves. We're just walking along with all kind of emotions flying through us, anger. We don't stop and go, wait a minute. What is that? We don't stop. We just keep on moving. An emotion upon emotion upon emotion upon emotion. And we're just these emotional people just walking around. We don't know, because it takes work. See, God says, work out your soul salvation. Work it out. Work it out. That means we got to stop. That means that we're not just dilly-dallying, skip the loo all down the road. We got to stop and say, wait a minute. Work out my soul salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That means there's some things that can get in there. There's some things that can get by me if I don't stop. say, where am I? Where am I? Where am I on this road to heaven? Where am I on this road? What am I doing? I can see what everybody else is doing. But what am I doing? See, the enemy gets you so on other people that you... You know, I did this play in our church back home, and it was a play where a woman walked in, and she walks in with this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gown, a bridal gown. And when she comes out, she is just plain gorgeous. Everything's white, beautiful. But as she's walking through, everybody can see all this other stuff that's on her back. And that's how it is with us. Sometimes we just got ourselves so together, but we don't realize that back there, there's all kind of stains, there's all kind of things like that that we need to be working on. We there's those strong points where that we just think the bridal gown's beautiful and the veil is just great. But what about the broken zipper? Come on. What about the tattered part? What about those things you can't see? Those things, you've got to go to the mirror in full view and not just look like this. Oh, I look so cute today. You got to go, And so since you can't see, you got to say, God, I can't see back there. Lord, what is back there? We've got to lay this all down, or else when God comes after his bride that has no spots or wrinkles, we're going to think we have no spots or wrinkles because all we've done is look instead of looking all around ourselves to see. Our next one, so we talked about our emotions, okay? And in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says this, do not fret. One of the scriptures that I constantly has been a scripture for me this season. But do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Some things, anything. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite, I want us to get it, definite, not just in the wind. Some of us, we don't know really what we want. We need to find out what our requests are. They should be definite. What are you asking God for? Okay, definite request with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So there's some things that could cause you to be anxious. And there's some things that can cause troubling circumstances. But God adds something to it. Don't be anxious. But he said, not just not be anxious, but also be thankful. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. Can y'all look at that sentence again? And being content with his earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace. See, we've got a lot of definitions for peace. But that peace, that wherever I am right now, whatever my earthly lot is right now, peace, that peace, being content right now, being content. I've had to say this so many times this week, being content. I still can't see out of my eye, being content. Lord, help me be 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 content. Lord, help me to be content right now. Take that anxiety away. Help me to be content right now.
right now, the report is still not the report, God, that I've been expecting. Let me be content right now with this earthly lot. Let me be content. I've been saying it all the way. I said, Lord, I know when I say this, God, I know that when I say it, my flesh goes, oh my God, you don't mean that. But Lord, even if I never see God, let me be content. Let me be content. Let me be content with my earthly lot, whatever it may be. And that peace, that's the peace. That's the peace when we get to that peace, that no matter where I'm at, whatever my lot is, whatever this day brings, whatever I'm going through, I'm content. I'm content. I'm content. That peace. That's the peace. Not that I get what I want. Not everything goes my way. Not that there's no tragedy, no hurt, no pain. No, that I'm content in it. I'm content through it. Whatever my lot is, that peace. That's the peace God's talking about. That's the peace he's talking about, y'all. That peace. It said that is the peace that will transcend, okay? Oh, God, I thank God for that. That kind of peace that transcends all understanding. It makes, where's my brother? It makes no sense. It makes no sense to have peace in the storms. It makes no sense to have peace in pain. It makes no sense when the doctor gives you, when I went in, he's telling me about one eye, then he goes on to tell me about the other eye. That makes no sense. Everything in my flesh is like, God, what does that mean?
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.
Makes no sense to get to that kind of peace. Because if you don't get to that kind of peace, you're going to lose your ever-living, loving mind. So God is like, get to that peace. Get to that peace that no matter what the report is, I'm with you in the storm. I'm for you in the storm. I'm with you. That's the peace that no matter what, when I look at Stephen just laying down, you know, bow down and they're stoning him. And it shows this peaceful man that's looking up to heaven. Father, forgive them for they don't. That peace. That peace. Everybody can expect you to have peace when everything's going right. Everybody can expect you to jump for joy when you got $1 million in the mail. When they told you that your everything's good about your health. When they've told you that your marriage is just la, 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 and romance, and you're on a cruise. Everybody can expect that. But it's talking about a peace that passes understanding. Is that one that, what? 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 You got peace? What? Your child is out there on drugs and you got peace? The doctor's report is, and you got peace? He walked away from you and she left you and you got peace? That peace. That's the peace that God wants to get his people to. That peace. Because you say, well, why do we have to go through all those things? I don't want to be an example. I don't want to show up. Understand this. In this world, you will have trouble. We're not getting out of it without having any trouble. So we need to choose how we're going to respond. Are we going to respond losing our mind? Are we going to grab hold of that peace? That peace that says, you are with me. You are with me. And that peace transcends everything. All understanding. It says, that peace transcends all understanding, and it shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds. Y'all get this. That if we get to that peace, that it will stand guard over your mind. It will stand, when you get to that peace that Jesus is enough, that God is enough. I don't care what the storm is. I don't care what I go. God is enough. It's just, it will stand guard over your mind, because your enemy is trying to, the enemy's trying to make you lose your mind, lose your hope, lose your faith, give up. But God said, if you get to that peace, that peace will stand guard over your mind. He'll be able, it was last night, I was in, it's funny how God could just come and say things to me, but I was in the room, and he was talking about, you know, how we look at life, and he said, you know, we love to bask in the sun and dance in the rain, but we better get ready for the floods. And he let us know, our lives is not about basking in the sun, dancing in the rain. That's not our real life, not here, not on this planet Earth. We get some gravy time, but in all, you know, are the cherry on the top. But we're here to work. We're here to work on our salvation. We're here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, where he said we'll be hated for it. We'll be persecuted for it. We haven't even got there yet. We're going to have to be ready. Our next place that we have to lay on, we've already talked about laying our will on the altar, laying our emotion and feelings on the altar. Now the next one is our reasoning, our reasonings, our intellect, our thought. We can be some reasoning people, right? That don't make no sense. Why that? How come this? In Corinthians 10 and 5, one thing that God has given us as believers, we have something more higher than earthly reasoning. God has given us spiritual insight. Oh, what a gift. Spiritual insight. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says this, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I'm going to read it out, the message, to open it up a little more. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by God. Here he's talking about the whole soul. Look, he says that we're fitting every loose thought. Some of us, we just have loose thoughts. They're not productive. They're not God-honoring. They just kind of float around in our mind, and the enemy just brings us, wonder if God isn't real. Wonder if I put in all this time and God isn't real. Wonder if I die and I just die and there's no heaven. We just allow the enemy to loose thoughts. And God says, we need to capture those loose thoughts. We need not just, I don't know, you might not do what I do, but sometimes I really have to capture loose thoughts. Sometimes I'm just sitting, you know, and I call it just going into my nothing world, and all of a sudden, you know, there's just these thoughts that just come over my mind, just loose thoughts, and I'd be like, where did that, what is that? And if I don't capture that thought, it'll keep running, you know. It just keeps running until it kind of runs away with me, you know. You can capture a loose thought. Oh, I can capture a thought. Pastor David said something in a certain way, and I'm like, he's upset. Amen. I don't know what's he upset about. Right. I know I didn't do nothing. What's he upset? What's he upset about? And then, you know, I'm just thinking about it, laying around, thinking about it. I mean, he didn't even say good morning. Something's wrong. Why is he? He didn't like the way I did. He didn't like what we had for dinner. Like, you know? And then he's on out the door, and then got in his car, and we're thinking that we're gone. And I'm just walking around the house. I wonder what he was mad about. He didn't even see what I did. What in the world is going on? A loose thought that I didn't capture it. Then he calls me on the phone, and he's like, "Hey, babe," and I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" and he goes, "What's wrong with me? Ain't nothing wrong with me. What you saying something wrong with me for, babe? What's wrong with you?" Now, and this loose stocking go, look, I said, "Babe, what's wrong with me? You can tell me what's wrong with you." He's like, "Babe, there's nothing wrong with me." And I'm like, "You just say good morning." He goes, "Oh, babe, I'm sorry. I was trying to get." I'm like, "Babe, you always say good." See, you know, we can, we work that thought, and it's working us. Now, I mean, it may not be as true. Some of y'all be like, "Are you kidding me, Pastor Linda? You a pastor? You go down?" Yes, I do. Y'all don't put me on no throne, okay? There's only one God on the throne. And I have to talk to myself about little stupid stuff that come, and I'll be like, "Devil, use a lie." I have to talk. I mean, I don't know. Maybe y'all got it all together. But me, I'm talking to myself and talking to Jesus every day. Every day there's something I'm going, "Wait a minute. That didn't come from God. Where did that come from?" Every day, because I know and I've learned that if I don't do that, things begin to pile up. But if I catch it and give it back to God, I catch and carry. If I catched it and I said, "Here, I'm carrying this to God. I caught that devil. You trying to trip me up," and I carry it to God, then it's over. And then, you know, we talk about things. We laugh and talk, "Babe, you know, this is what I felt this morning," or, "You know, I was feeling this way. I know it's crazy, but I know I felt," and we talk about those kind of things because the enemy does those kind of things in our lives. And I mean, that's a simple one because I know good and well we catch and carry so many other areas, okay? One of the things that God showed me was that we are the air traffic controllers of our thoughts. And we choose what thoughts are safe to land. It's funny because I had my husband laughing last night because this was, when God told me this, this was the exciting part of my message because y'all know I'm really amplified. And so I really was like, "Oh, God's going to let me act it out." I thought the air traffic one is the one that gets to do all that and like that. And so I was like, "Ooh, babe, I'm going to get to act that." I'm so glad I told my husband first. And I said, "I'm going to get to act it out. I get to be air traffic controller." And I'm going to stand up and go, "You know, that thought can't come here because it's an air traffic." And he goes, "Babe, that's not what the air traffic controller does." And, but, thank God I have a husband. It's his teacher own wife at home. I thank God that when he told me that they have a little recorder thing, mic thing, that this brought it even more bigger to me, you know. He said that they talk, and they talk to this person who talks to them, the controller that gives them, you know, information. And it let me see that we got the controller. I got it, y'all. I got it. We got the controller, and he is giving us information. And if we allow his word, he says, "Don't let that thought land. Don't let that thought land. That's not a safe one. Don't let it. You're going to crash and burn. Don't let that thought." Did I get it right, Johnny? Yep. Okay. Don't let that thought land. We can be the air. Y'all don't. Wouldn't it be something if the air traffic controller, he's not paying no attention and giving no orders? But he is. He's giving us orders. And we just let it. It says, "Don't let that thought land." Just remember when I told y'all, don't catch that ball? Then don't catch them thoughts, okay? Don't let that thought land. And he says, "Don't let it land." And we just let it land. Because we're not even hearing him. We're not even thinking that it's serious. It's serious not to let the plane land, right? When it's dangerous, it's serious. And God is saying, some of these thoughts we're letting land, they are going to wreck you. They're going to mess you up. They're going to keep you in a place that you don't need to be, take you to a place that you don't need to go. And God is saying, I'm telling you, don't let that land. Oh, God, that just blessed my heart right there. You know what? I'll have to stop for a minute. This word's making me happy. Because God just showed me when I was sitting there, there's just so many parts of our soul that we're not paying attention to. And we're wondering why we're not having victory. We're not paying attention. God said, pay attention. Stop paying attention to so much around you. Start paying attention to what's going on in you.
Yes.
Pay attention. Another place God is saying that we got to lay on the altar is memories. We have so many memories, painful memories, memories of regret and hurt, and we carry them around, and we're trying to have victory, and we're trying to get forward and go forward, but these memories, we keep on going back to these memories, and they paralyze us, and we think that's going to happen again, and I'm not anything because what did happen, and God wants us to lay our memories down. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says this: therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Come on, I'm a new creature. He is a new creature. A new creature altogether. Altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Did y'all hear that? The old moral spiritual condition has passed away. If the enemy comes knocking at your door telling you what you used to be, you tell him, you at the wrong house. I don't live there anymore. You're knocking on the wrong door. It has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Let it come. Let it be. Stop going backwards. Go for the fresh. And the new has come. I don't care what you know about what I used to be. Come on. The fresh and the new. And you know what? Others aren't going to receive what you don't receive. Some of us are trying to say, people got me in the same old place that you got your own self in. The new has come. Walk out in the new. If they want to stay back there in your old story, all right. They're missing all the new chapters. Stay back there. But God's writing a new book. New chapters. Got a new life. It has come. And I'm going to walk in that newness. I thank God for that. That excites me so much. In Philippians 12 and 14, it says, Wait, let me do that one in the Message Bible. It says, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, they get a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. The new life burgeons. Look at it. Look at the new life. Stop looking at the old. Look at the new life. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it says this. Not that, and I love this about Paul. I love this about Paul, and this is my heart too. As I stand up and preach, it's not that I'm standing up here and I got it all. It's not that I'm standing up here and everything that I'm reading I can do. I love that about Paul. Paul says this. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own, that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, you guys, one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. God, I may not have it all, but one thing I know, I'm better than I used to be. That God has brought me a long way from where I used to be. And I may not have it all, but I'm going to preach it all. I'm going to preach it all, even though I don't have it all. And I'm going to continue to press toward the high calling. I'm going to press. Who's pressing in here? You may not have it all. You may not have laid your emotions down. You may not have laid your whole will down. You may not have it all, but I'm going to continue to sit under this word. I'm going to continue to read my word. I'm going to continue to lift my spirit to God, and I'm going to continue to press. Press on. Press for the calling upward. As long as you press in, you'll press toward upward, all right? In Philippians, it says, why he said that, he said that if, in Philippians 3:11, Paul was saying that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. If possible, and all things are possible with God, it's going to lift me. Where do you spend your time thinking, and what do you spend your time thinking on? Is it negative thoughts, lustful thoughts, fearful thoughts, prideful thoughts, judgmental thoughts? What do you spend your time thinking about? God wants you to spend your time thinking godly thoughts. And you got to yank yourself. When it says capture those thoughts, you got to pull yourself. We get into a lustful thought. We see something and it stirs up lust. Capture that thought. Don't just let it pull you. Capture that thought. Yes, saints of God, people of God, we have lustful. That's not like, oh. No, we have lustful thoughts in the house of God. We have judgmental thoughts. Somebody goes, oh, never, never, never. Well, bless you, my child. But the thing is, we have lustful thoughts. That the enemy don't care. Where are your thoughts going? Bring them back. Bring them back. Capture those thoughts. The next thing to put on the altar is our imagination. Imagination is the one. All these are gifts from God. Do you use right? But the enemy always wants to take a gift and pollute it. Our imaginations. In Genesis 6:5, it says, the Lord saw the wickedness that of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. When God looked down, he just saw our imaginations. When we look at TV sometimes, or news sometimes, and things people do, you think, what in the what was they thinking? You know, and you, they did what? You can't even imagine. Like for me, it's very hard to imagine murder. I bleed, you bleed, something about that doesn't hit our hearts, that it hurts. And blood, we die, and it just, but if our hearts aren't right, somebody can be sitting up in this world right now imagining killing somebody. They talk about how every hour there is a husband and a wife that's killed, and imagine, just imagination, that's our minds. You know, that's what lets me know I got to lay my mind on this altar. That's our mind. Somebody says, not me. I don't understand how anybody. But that's our mind. The hatred that gets in our mind. The envy that gets in our mind. It causes us to want to murder. And God says sometimes we've already murdered a person and we haven't even stuck the real knife into them. We've murdered them in our head. God is like, we act like we don't understand, but we can go to great depths when this heart and these emotions get all messed up. We can go great depths. And that's why God has to give us that spirit of control. Because I don't care how holy we are, righteous we are. If we let this mind go to the wrong places, we will do things that shock ourselves. God wants us to know that we will do things that shock ourselves, evil imaginations. In Proverbs 6:18, it says, a heart that, these are, God talks about seven things that he hates, and this is one of them. a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief. God hates that. He hates when we're sitting and we're thinking about how we could hurt somebody, how we can slander somebody, how we can do them in. Those are evil imaginations. God hates it. And we need to, they will come. They will come. But we got to cast them down. You don't just sit and keep on thinking of how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it. Can't wait to do it. Got to cast it down. Cast it down. And be aware of it. See, if we sit up and be so holy and self-righteous and say that, I don't think like that. I don't know how people think about murder. I don't even know how people think about hurting somebody.
Lord Jesus, come on.
And we be hurting people all the time. Because we're not stopping and evaluating and seeing where our inner man is. That stuff, that self-righteous, that judgmental. God said, be careful how we judge, that we're not walking in the same judgment that we mete out. What we say somebody else is doing, sometimes we're doing that same thing. Because we're not stopping. We're not evaluating. We're looking at everybody else instead of looking at ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says this, casting down imaginations, not just thoughts, but casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. One thing that we got to cast down in imagination is fear. We look at the world today, we look at what's going on in the world today, and if we're not careful, we just start imagining, oh, the bombs are coming over here, they're going to kill us and our family, and oh my God, this president, he's going to do us in, and we're not, and we just talk all that stuff, and God said, cast down those imaginations. And somebody said, I ain't imagining because it's really, really happening, but God wants you to go back to this. This is one of my favorite verses. It says this in Psalm 62 and 11. God has spoken once.
Hallelujah.
Twice have I heard this, that the power belongs to God. God says, I keep on saying this, that no matter what you see, no matter what's going on in the world, the power doesn't belong to man. It belongs to God, the power. And we can sit and fill our minds with all these imaginations that the end of the story is the power belongs to God. And what God wills to happen will happen. It will happen. It's going to happen just like his word said. Nothing is going to happen outside of God's word. Everything from the president to the calamity is already in God's word. Nothing's going to happen that doesn't line up with the word of God. And God says, come on, come on, believers. Don't you get shaky. Don't you get scared. Don't you, instead of preaching the good gospel of Jesus Christ, you're preaching the fearful gospel of the world. I said it once, said the Lord, and I'll say it again. Power belongs to God. I don't care what you see. I don't care who walks up to you. I don't care how much they want to persecute us. Even while they're persecuting us, we need to stand there and say, but the power belongs to God. See, that's what happened to Stephen. When Stephen was down there and they were stoning him, Stephen didn't care about them rocks coming at him because Stephen was like, the power belongs to God. Either I'm going to get up. Because we see a time when Paul, they was trying to kill Paul, and Paul got right up. So he says, either I'm going to get up because I know how he did with Paul, or either I'm going to see the Lord. One, there's no other, there's no in between. I'm going to get up from this, or I'm going to get up from this. The power belongs to God. Drop them imaginations. The enemy's trying to make you feel like something so scary in this world, something so big in this world, that it's going to affect you beyond what God wants you to be affected. The power belongs to God. In Philippians 4 and 8, it says this. For the rest, brethren, so we can end on this one. For the rest, brethren, we talked a lot about our will, our emotions, our imaginations. It says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, what we gonna do? Think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix, hallelujah, fix, fix, yeah, your mind on them. That's where our mind should be, you guys. Somebody says there's not nothing pretty in this world. Everything's ugly. Everything's dying. Everything. That's why you're not fixing your mind on this world. Fix your mind on them, the things of God, the promises of God, the word of God. Oh, I love it. Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do with all this calamity. I don't know what to do with all this tragedy. I don't know what to do with all this pain. I don't know what, but God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. God said, if that's where we would just stay planted, my eyes are on you, oh God. And I'm going to think when my thoughts go south and everything's negative, I'm going to capture that thought. And I'm going to think on whatsoever things are pure. What's pure? God. What's lovely? If you look it up, God is lovely. What's worthy of praise? God is worthy. I'm going to think on you. I'm a witness. The word of God is true. I can be so all over the place, so worried, so upset. I get in that house, turn on my praise and worship music, turn on me some word, and it won't take very long. David will tell you, it won't take. I'm dancing around the house, I'm singing, and I'm talking about I've been through some crazy stuff and did it the opposite way. Go through some crazy stuff, cry, get in the bed, cry, get under the covers, don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to talk to David, don't want to pick up the phone, and I'm miserable to the point the enemy's saying, you shouldn't be living. See, this one girl knows the voice of the enemy that's told her to kill herself. So I know his voice. Hallelujah. But I've turned it around. And I know this for a fact. Hey. That he comes. The enemy comes. But I've got a warring, smashing tool. And that's prayer and praise. And I turn up my music. And I start singing them words, become alive in my soul. Sometimes David said, why you got it up so loud? He's driving the dream. I got to hear it. I'm smashing his voice out of my head. I'm hearing it. I'm singing it. And as I sing those words are life to me. Those words are strength to me. Those words are delivering to me. And the next thing you know, I am in the zone of God being almighty, and there's no weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Now remember what I said. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I'm not just going to bask in the sun and dance in the rain. I'm preparing myself for the floods. I talk to myself. So, don't you worry. Everything may be taken away from you. I talk like this. Everything may be taken today. But the Lord's going to make a way somehow. So, the doctor may not give you the report that you want to hear. But God. And I start, this may be kind of weird, but I start doing things like I was so blessed. And somebody might think this is really weird, but I was so blessed because I was worried about my eye. And I was like, you know, people were saying they could see before now and what's going on. And the doctor's looking like I thought by now. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what's wrong with my eye? And I'm sitting there and I'm home and I told my husband, I said, babe, I'm trying, but I'm feeling a little bit nervous about this eye. And I keep doing this stuff like this, you know, and trying to see if I see more. And I talked to my sister who's been through it, and she said, you got to stop doing that. You know, and one of the things that I got from Jessica sent me this video. And this she didn't really realize what God had for me. But it was about this book, because me and her have a tendency that we just go to our bookshelves and we'll pull all the book that God told us to pull out, and it'd be amazing because it'd be right where we are in our season. And so she says, I found a new book, and it's this Rothschild lady, and she said it's an amazing book about faith. And so she didn't tell me nothing else, but as soon as she said it, I went online and I looked up the lady's name, and I found her book. And when I find the book, it's about, her name is Susan Rothschild, and it's about how she went blind at 15. And y'all be like, well, how did that encourage you? That thing encouraged me like I don't know what. So I went there, and I'm looking at it, and this girl's 15 years old and gets this disease that just she could see, and then all of a sudden she could see no more. Y'all got to look up her testimony. It amazed me. This girl was praising God, how God had brought her through, how God had showed her what to do, how she's a witness, how even now her testimony helps, a faith helps. I don't know, other people might have looked at it and got scared, but I looked at it and it encouraged me. I said, Lord, whatever you do to my eyes, just let me be a witness. See, that's the end of it all. That's the end of it all. I want to be I don't want to be, if I can see, I don't want to be a pathetic seer. And if I can't see, I don't want to be a pathetic blinder. I want to be God's witness, whatever side that I, see, because you can be a pathetic seer, okay? And you can be a pathetic person that can't see, that doesn't give God any glory. All I want to do is give God glory. I want to give God glory in whatever condition that God, he allows me to be in. I don't give no credit to the enemy. Whatever condition I'm in, I want to give God glory. And this witness of this testimony was like, how in the world this girl, she's young, she's a teenager, and she grows up and can't see, could see, can't see. Oh, but she is this glory. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't, But see, that's how I prepare myself.
Come on.
That's exactly how I prepare myself. I prepare myself that I'm not walking around thinking that Pastor Linda is so something that tragedy can't happen to me. But I want to be ready for tragedy to glorify God.
Yes.
I want to be able to in it say, God, you are the joy and the strength of my life. God, you are everything to me. I want to be there. That's where I want to be, no matter what the doctor tells me. And the doctor's told me stuff. The doctor told me my foot was going to be cut off, that something, you know, it was so bad, looked like it needed to be amputated. I remember David being there helping me through that. I was like, oh, my God. But I want to be a worshiper. Don't let your emotions, your will, your thoughts and imaginations, don't let that be the devil's playground.
That's right. Amen.
See, God's given those things to us as a gift. We will not let the enemy pollute it. We will not let the enemy play all over what God has given us. And we will be worshipers. You guys can stand. We will be worshipers. How many wants to be a worshiper?
Hallelujah.
And
Amen.
Not, you know, God, I wish I could get up here and stump and sing really good like
Hallelujah.
The praise and worship team. I mean, that's worshiping. But I want to be a worshiper for my life. I want my life song to worship him. That when you see my living, it worships him. That in every season, you're like, somebody's going, what? How? What? Is she still worshiping God? That's what I want it to be. That my life is a worship. That my emotions and my reasonings line up with the word of God so much that it makes people wonder and know that it's not about Linda. It's about something bigger than Linda. It's about the Spirit of the Most High God living in me, working through me. Come on, you guys, we've got something powerful. On this very day, we've got Jesus within us. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. And if we allow the power of the Holy Ghost to work and move, we can go through anything with our heads held high. Come on, with a smile on our face. Yes. And somebody says, I may not be smiling. Yes, you can smile.
Yes, yes.
Your smile doesn't belong to the devil. Nothing about me. I can raise my hands. I can lift my voice. I can stump my feet. I can run, because none of me belongs to the devil. Belongs to God. And in every season, I can praise the Lord. And remember, I can praise him crying. I can praise him kicking and screaming. I can still praise him. My heart belongs to God. How about you this morning? Don't you dare compromise in any area of your life. Line it up with the word of God. Lay it all down. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. I lay it all, my mind, my thoughts, my will, my imagination. I lay it all down. I lay it down. Just for God to be my friend is greater than letting my emotions and my mind have its way. I lay it all down. And I'm fighting for that peace. That peace that no matter what my lot is in this life, I'm fighting for that peace that transcends. That transcends my circumstances. There's a peace that goes above our circumstances. And I'm fighting for that. Are you fighting for it today? Are you fighting for it today? Oh, come on right now. If there's anybody that needs prayer today, fighting in your spirit, fighting for your peace, come on, just run on up here. Run up here. I love that. But I will run. I will walk. I will run. I will run to you, God. I will run. I need your peace that passes all understanding. I need your peace that transcends my circumstances. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. I want more, 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 more of you. Fill me up, God. Oh, he sees you. He sees you. That's what I love about it, creatures. He sees us. He sees us. Oh, go ahead, Amanda. He sees you. No weapon. No weapon. Come on. Let's wrap our mind around that one. Come on. It won't work.
It won't work.
Thank you, guys. Let's sing that.
Against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed.
Come on, come on. It won't prosper.
Shall prosper.
Oh, my mind is stayed on that fact. Come on.
It won't work. No weapon.
Yes. None at all. None at all.
Shall prosper. It won't work.
Because God can do.
Because God will do.
Come on, yes. He's going to do what he said he would do.
He will stand by.
Oh, yes.
His word.
Yes, yes, yes.
He will come.
He's coming through right now.
God will do what he said he will do. He will stand by his
word. Oh, Priya, yes, come on.
He will come.
He will come through, baby. Come on. No weapon. No weapon. Come on.
shall prosper.
He will come through.
It won't work. No weapons formed against me.
Priya.
It won't work.
Come on, it won't work.
Will do what
he's gonna
he
do.
He
yes,
will. He will stand by his word.
He's gonna stand by his word.
He will come.
He's standing
through.
By his word.
God,
what has God told you that you're still waiting for it to come to pass?
He's not a man.
He won't lie. He won't lie, y'all.
He will come through. No weapon.
Come on, Amanda, don't you forget that. Don't you forget that.
It won't work.
Come on.
No weapon formed against me.
Samira.
Shall prosper.
It won't work. Won't work.
It won't work.
Come on. Thank you, God. No weapon, y'all. I don't care. Come on.
There just ain't one.
Come on, no weapon. I don't know what it is. If it's doubt, it's fear.
There just
come
ain't
on,
one.
No weapon. No weapon.
There just ain't one.
Whatever the lie is.
There just ain't
come on.
One.
Come on, it won't work.
It won't work.
Okay, Lord, as those have come to the altar, God, you know what fights there against them in their soul, oh God. And God, we lift up our minds to you today. We lift up our will to you today. We lift up those negative thoughts to you today. We lift up our reasoning to you today. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh God, we lay it all down. We lay it all down, God. We ask for strength, God, to think your thoughts, God, to do your will, oh God. We ask that you take control of our souls, oh God. God, you said you have given us the spirit of control. Oh, Father, let us not just give over to the enemy, oh God. But God, your Holy Spirit has given us fighting power, God. And we stand and we war against the enemy, oh God. May your peace that passes all understanding. May your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, let it rise up within us. Let it cover us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Your peace, your wonder-working peace, oh God. Let it be ours, oh God. And God, it is already ours. Let us receive. As you said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let us receive your peace. Let us receive your joy. Let us receive your faith. Let us receive every good thing from your word. Let us receive it, God. We rebuke every hindering spirit, every obstacle that would stand in our way from receiving all of your good gifts. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Wanting, can you come here? Wanting. Oh, hallelujah. I need some brothers right now just to come stand around Wani. This young man, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Wani, there's a seed in you. You know, it's been planted ever since your mom and dad brought you to the house of the Lord. There's an awesome seed of the Word of God in you. And every time you come in this place, it's being watered and it's growing. Remember, you're a mighty man of God. And remember, the enemy don't like it. But understand this, that there's a seed that's being watered. And God wants you to stand and know that wherever you're at, whatever time of day it is, whatever time of night it is, God is with you. He's for you. And he stands right by you. And when things look a little bit fishy or a little bit sketchy, don't you forget who's on your side. It's God that's on your side. It's God that walks with you. It's God that covered, all right? Stay under his word so that you can stay covered. This year coming back and forth to church, it is not in vain. It is not just something that you're doing. It is more than that. It is watering that seed. So in that moment, in that right time, you're going to be like, what's coming out of me? It's going to be coming out of you like a fountain. And people are going to be looking at you like, what? Because that word, it has grown to make you a mighty warrior for God. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus as the men put their hands on him. Lord, we ask right now that you would protect him. That you would lead him. That you would guide him. That you would protect his mind. Oh God, protect his thoughts, God. Protect his reasonings, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, always, 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 let your will be the utmost will that he strives to please you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, continue to speak into the ear of his heart, oh God, that he would know your voice. He would hear you so clearly. He would hear you say, stop. He would hear you say, go. He would hear you say, yes. He would hear you say, no. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Juan. Oh God, we thank you for the good plans that you have for his life. And for God, they would not be cut off. They would not be any way deceived in any way, God. God, we thank you right now for the wisdom that's in that seed, oh God, that planted seed. That wisdom shall lead him. That wisdom shall guide him. That wisdom of the living word, it shall be his guard. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Mira, come here. Samira. Thank you, God. I want all the single women, single. You're not married. Even if you got a boyfriend, you're not married. Not married. Like you said, thank you for bringing that out. Even if you're living with somebody, you're not married. Come on up here. Not married. You're still in an ordained place right now. You haven't made a covenant. The I do covenant. It's not, you haven't made that, right? None of y'all made the I do covenant, right? That's up here, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Singles have been on my heart. And look at this, it's woo. We got a lot of singles up in here. They've been on me and Pastor's heart. And
hallelujah!
We know that the enemy, as you try your best to walk out your singleness in a way that glorifies God. We know that that's not easy. And we know that in some places you have fallen from the word's ways of walking it out. But one thing we know, that God, he has graced you to be able, and his word is truth, and his word is powerful. And the way that he says to do it is because he wants to protect us. Single women, he wants you to be protected. Wait, you know what? I'm so sorry. There's some single men up in the house. I didn't forget y'all. Some single men.
Come on over here.
Single, and you're not married.
Come on down.
Come on up, Sterling. Come on up. Single. Some of y'all about to get married. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God. But in this period of your singleness, please honor your singleness. Is so important, because your singleness is, you have time to be single with God. Paul says when we get married to one another, we think about the needs of our spouses, and we don't have this same free time to be single-minded with God, okay? Make sure you use this time well. Make sure you use your single time well. Make sure you're preparing yourself. You want a man, you want a woman, but be prepared for that man and that woman, because you're supposed to bring something to the table, all right? Women, you're supposed to bring something to the table, not just your beautiful body. You're supposed to bring some wisdom to the table. You're called the helpmate for a reason. So to be prepared for that, you have to have a singleness of time and in God's word so you can be that. You can be that. Somebody's looking for a helpmate, okay? They're not looking for somebody that's needy and somebody that's looking for a prince to take them through the shining armor and all that. God's your shining armor. He's your King of Kings, and he's your Lord of Lords. But God wants you to be that woman that loves God, that when the enemy's messing with the man in your life, you can make a stand. You don't fall with him. You stand and help him to stand. But there's nothing in you. You're going to fall with him. Don't just pick anyone. Ladies, remember what he said. He says, a man that findeth a good wife. It's about the man finding you. It's not about you looking for him. Everybody says, oh God, I done heard this over and over and over again. It don't work. It don't work. I've been waiting and waiting for somebody to find me. They not ready yet. And you not ready yet. Because when you're ready, you don't want it when you're not ready. Some of us in here can wave our hands and say, you know what? We should have waited. Not because I would have picked another man, but I would have been a better wife for the man I got. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank God for these that are standing here right now. God, let their hearts be pure in their walk with you, oh God. Oh God, in that area, oh God, where they think, I don't have a man. I need a man, oh God. Oh God, remind them that you are their first husband. And Lord, if they would allow you to minister to them, and them to minister to you, it would strengthen them when you give them the man that you bring to them or the wife that you bring to him. Father, help them to walk it out in those areas, God, where it's hard, in those areas where they've already given over in their bodies and their bodies scream for that intimacy, God. Lord, we ask right now that they would go back into the Word of God and God, find out what you say. And allow you to help them, God. To help them, God. So they'd be more than just a body. That they would be the helpmate that you called them to be. Father, we pray over each and every one of them, God. Some of them are already hurt. Some of them have already been broken. And God, we ask right now where the broken spirit is. Where they've been hurt. Where they've done it their way, God. God, we ask right now that, God, that you would redeem that in the name of Jesus. God, you will restore, God, every broken place, God. The brokenness of the heart, God. Oh, God, the weaknesses, God. Oh, God, that you would build them up in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, in your name, God. Oh, God, wrap them in your arms, God. Oh, God, that place where they feel like they can't get out, they can't let go, they can't do what you called them to do. God, remind them that there's a power that's greater than any outside power, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost, and that, God, it will enable them to do what they are called to do. God, give them a willing heart. Give them a willing heart. Let them say, God, I will do it if you just show me how. In Jesus' name we pray over every single one of these beautiful singles, God. Let them be a light. Let their testimony shine, God, in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. As everybody gets seated, you don't have a church home, Living Faith Christian Center opens the doors of this church today. Well, what you say? Amen. For who? The widow. Oh. Thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, before we welcome them, you guys, Pastor David wants to pray for the widows. Those that have lost their husbands, in the name of Jesus. He holds our future in his hands, and we thank God. One thing there is care for the widows in the Bible. God loved them so much that he has a care for them in the Bible. To let them know that they are not forgotten and they are not abandoned. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you want to pray? Yes, baby. Yes. Can y'all give her a mic? I love that in your season. I love that Amanda sings in the season. I love that she prays in the season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
That there is no pain too deep that you cannot feel, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, God.
We thank you right now, Lord God, that even in our weakness, you are made strong,
come on.
God.
Yes.
When people don't understand the depth of our hurt, don't understand the depth of the pain, Lord God,
we can
rejoice in knowing that you know,
you
Lord God,
know,
that
God.
You have been there, Heavenly
yes.
Father.
Yes.
And every
God.
Tear that we cry, Lord
thank
God,
you,
it
God.
Is bottled up, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Because
God.
Every tear that we cry is valuable, Lord
yes,
God.
Yes, God.
We
matters,
thank you
oh
right
God.
Now, Lord Jesus, for the strength
thank
that we have to get to keep going through
yes.
you,
yes,
God.
God.
When we can't get out of bed, Lord Jesus,
Jesus.
And we just want to stay under the covers
oh,
because we
Lord.
Feel like life is so hard to even bear. It
Jesus.
Is you, Lord God,
you,
that's
God.
Calling us, that's bidding us, Lord God,
thank
to come
you,
forward,
God.
Lord
yes,
Jesus.
God. It is you.
Even if we have to crawl, Lord
come
God,
on now.
Let
yes,
it be
God.
So, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
In the times where we cannot stand, God, let it be so, Lord God,
yes,
because
God.
We know, Lord Jesus, that it is you, Lord God, sending
it
those who
you.
Can come and hold
yes,
us up, Lord
it
God.
Is you, God.
When we are in those moments where we feel like we can't even hear your word, Lord
Jesus.
God, still give us a heart of flesh so we can hear
oh,
it, Lord
Lord,
God.
We thank you right now.
Give
we
us
thank
a heart
right now,
to hear
Lord.
Your word, because we know that's where our strength comes
yes,
from, God.
God.
We know that's where our peace comes yes, from, Heavenly Father.
Yes, God.
We know
yes,
that's where
God.
Our joy
we know.
Is coming
we know.
From, Lord God.
Yes, God.
And all that we are going through, Heavenly Father, your will be done, Lord
your
God.
Will be done.
If
your
all
will.
I can do is tell
Jesus.
People that you are good, even though I'm feeling so
come
much
on,
pain, God,
come on.
Your will be done.
Your
Lord
will
God.
Be done.
You
yes,
are
God.
Good, Heavenly Father.
All the time.
Even when I don't feel like the situation is good,
come
Lord
on.
God.
Yes, God.
You are good,
you are
Lord
good.
Jesus. And you will get the glory, Lord
thank
God.
You, God.
When we may feel like we are an emotional wreck, Heavenly
Jesus.
Father, and we don't know which way the wind is blowing, Lord God.
Thank you,
we
God.
Know that you are that anchor, Lord God, that
thank
keeps
you,
us
God.
Steady. We know, Lord God, that when the waves are coming in over our head, all we have to do is just reach out and say, help, Lord. You will pull
yes,
us
God.
Up and keep
yes.
us from going under, Lord God.
Yes,
and we thank
God.
You right now, Heavenly Father. We thank you right
thank
now,
you right
Lord
now,
God,
God,
for it is you that knows the beginning
you,
from
God.
The end. It is you who is the author and the finisher of our faith, God.
You,
so we will praise you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
We will give you glory, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
If we can't even wave our hands, if we can't even say a word, Lord God, we know that we are worshiping you in our hearts, Lord God. If we know, Lord God, that we can't even open up our mouths and say thank you, we know that our hearts
thank
can say
God.
It, Lord. So we just thank you right now, Lord God, for being
God.
Our healer, Lord God, for being our buckler, Lord God. For being everything that we need, Lord Jesus. When
yes,
we are going
God.
Back to our homes and
come
it feels
on.
Empty,
thank you,
Lord God,
God
yes. let your presence remind
come
us
on.
That
come
you are
on.
There,
your
Lord
presence.
God. That it is
yes.
you, Lord God, who
yes.
never leaves us nor forsake us. When we
thank
are missing and longing the phone calls of our loved one, Lord God,
thank you, God.
It is you, Lord God,
thank
who
you,
is
Lord.
Always there on the
yes,
other
God.
End waiting for us to just
come
call
on.
Upon
yes,
you, God.
Yes.
When we are missing
thank
the
you,
knocks at the doors, Lord God,
come on.
Let us know, Lord God, that it is you, Lord Jesus, who is there, Lord God.
You,
all we have to do is but seek you, Lord God.
You,
all
God.
We have to do is but seek your
thank
face,
you,
Lord Jesus, and you will show
thank
up,
you,
Lord
Jesus.
God. We thank you right now,
thank
Heavenly
you,
Father. I give you glory
thank
right
you,
now,
Jesus.
Lord God, because it is you, Lord God,
yes,
that
God.
We have not lost our
thank
minds,
you,
Lord God.
God.
It is you, Lord God, who
thank
can
you,
give
God.
Us the peace that we need to get through.
Yes,
it is
God.
You, Lord God. It's because of you that I can
thank
say,
you,
this is the day the Lord
yes,
has
God.
Made. I will rejoice,
thank
Lord
you, God.
God. Not because, Lord God,
thank you, God,
I feel like I have everything, Lord God, but
thank
because
you, God.
I have you,
yes,
I can
God.
Rejoice and be glad
thank
in it,
you,
Lord God.
God.
And
thank
I thank you right now.
Thank you,
in
God.
Jesus' name.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank
hallelujah.
You, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. As you have given out Amanda in your season, may God replenish you. In this season, it's something that when we can give out when we're going through, God just replenish that in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you right now. We want to thank God for Ariana coming to be a part of Living Faith Christian Center.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you so much. We welcome you into this body of believers. We say from the very beginning, wrap your mind around this. We are not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God that is perfecting all of us. And as you come in, we want you to keep your eyes on him. Come on, keep your eyes on him and let him perfect you as he's perfecting us. We welcome you to our church. Everybody, just as she turns around, we welcome Ariana. She's been, we've also seen her dancing, and you already know that part of her, but you know, one thing about us, I love the gift, but I love her soul more than her gift. And that's one thing I've told her. I love that she dances, but I want her to be watched over for her soul. And so I'm so glad that you're here, and we're going to watch over you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a beautiful Sunday. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor this. Yes. Oh, what? She said that she wants to give her life away.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know what? She didn't just say that I want to give my life. She said, I want to give my life away. And that means every part of her. Give my life away so he can use you in such a higher level as you give your life away. And so, Lord, you heard what came out of her mouth, that came out of her heart. Father, she stands here saying, Lord, I want to give my life away, 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 all of my life. I want to give it to you. And Father, today we know that you receive it in the name of Jesus. And she exchanges her life for your life. And God, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We're gonna have her stand up here for a minute, and then they're going to come and shake your hand, your family. This is Priya's, I can't say last Sunday for now, okay? And we have so enjoyed Priya being here. So enjoyed her boldness and her how just tenacity for loving God's word and just the things that God has allowed her just to bring out in Bible study. And we just love you. Just a mighty little young. And he says, I've called them. In the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. And I'm just looking at her and seeing what God is doing already and what he's going to do. And this is going to be a mighty warrior in the word of God. And we just thank God for a mother that gave you Jesus. We're going to miss her for these couple, but we're going to pray over her. She got work to do where she's going. And she's got young people and young hearts that God wants her to speak into. And so, God, we ask that you plant that word so solid in her, God. So solid in her spirit. So solid in her mouth, God. She will not be moved. She will not be shaken, God. But whatever you tell her to say, she will say, God, in all holy boldness. And, God, she will draw many, God. They will be drawn unto you, God. For as she lifts you up, as the word says, as I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And, God, as she lifts you up, there will be many young people drawn in Jesus' name. Protect her. Watch over her. Keep her. Give her favor going in, favor going out, favor all around her. Hearts already prepared before she even gets there to give her favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. We got one more thing. I just want to just was in the forum. Those of you, many of you may not know Brittany and Taylor who are here with us. And we just got word that he's been missing for 11 days. So we want to pray that and the Lord will intervene. Because I can imagine how Brittany's feeling not knowing what has become of her husband. So we just want to lift him up in prayer, lift her up in prayer. Jesus. That this situation will be resolved for good. Amen? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right
Thank
now.
Thank you, God.
Lord, you know where Taylor is, God. You know exactly where he is, Lord. We pray for his safety. Lord, we pray, Lord,
right now,
that this situation will be resolved. And
yes,
we pray
God.
Your peace over Brittany and his wife, God.
Thank you, right
Lord, and his children, God, that you would just be with her, be with them, God. Lord, and just let your will be done in this situation. Lord, we call on heaven
right now,
Lord, to intervene. Lord, and to be the help that she needs and the support, God, and whatever the situation is, Lord, we believe you already know. Hallelujah. And you're able to work it out, Lord. And Lord, it's our will, our desire. We join with her, Lord, that he will be brought home safely.
Jesus, in your name.
Lord, but whatever it is, God, we put it in your hands. And we know that you're able, Lord. We stand right now with our sister, God. Our hearts go out to her.
Yes, God.
Lord, and we lift him before you, God. Our hearts go out to our brother, God, a man that loves you, a man of God. So we pray right now, Lord, that you would have your way.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to turn it over.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and just play the announcements, and then we'll, Minister Allen will pray us out.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us put our hands together right quick as we pray out there. Snacks in the back. Amen. And don't forget Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. 6:30 p.m. Let's come to Bible study. Father God, we just give you glory. Thank you, God, for sending us your word today. We thank you, God, for the messenger. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, for caring so much about us, God. We thank you, God. Now, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, God, let us go, God, as we go out, God. Examine your word for ourselves. Go back into it, God, and examine your word, God, and let us hide your word in our heart that we may not sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good day. We dismissed.